Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God, and we're talking about it from the point of view of Mr. Fish, who doesn't seem to like what we write about, and he has a right not to like what we write about, and we don't want to pick on him. We'd love to have him understand the gospel of the kingdom, and we write about some of his misconceptions, or actually we're talking about some of his misconceptions here, which are common amongst modern Christians. And he has his opinion, his private interpretation of the Bible, based on looking at it from what he already knows about the language, about the Bible, about the times, and about what these men are saying. And he has some good ideas, and he has some very bad ideas that are very confusing, and actually leads people away from the truth. And so we're just interested in helping people find their way back to the truth, back to what the early church was doing, back to what the apostles were telling people to do, and were actually helping them do, which was to take care of one another through faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty, and to attend to the daily ministration, to rightly divide not only the word, but bread from house to house, taking care of the needs of the people so that they did not have to go to the men who called themselves benefactors, who had the sword, who could exercise authority one over the other to obtain their daily bread and their health, education, and welfare. That was all done through the church. They didn't go to Caesar and say, "Caesar, we would like to sign up for your welfare system." Why? Because you signed up at the Temple of Saturn. That's where they kept the birth registration, in the Temple of Saturn. You had to have a birth registration or adoption or some sort of signing up for these welfare benefits. They had a very extensive system of record keeping. The problem was their benefits, the sacrifices that were made to provide those benefits from their temples, their free bread, was provided by offerings of the people that were compelled by the government. They forced one another to contribute to the welfare of all. So now the government got into the business, not just of protecting against foreign invasion or something like that, but they got into the business of providing individual welfare for the people. When you went and applied to them to eat of those benefits, you were sitting to eat at the table of men who exercised authority one over the other, rulers of the earth, who were called fathers of the earth at that time, patronuses, patres. And we covered all this in the last show. And so this is show number 3, so if you can go back to our archives and find the other shows, they'll be broadcast on different stations that we're heard on. And you can, nowadays, you can download everything on your telephone with these different programs, which you probably know more about than me. I haven't done it yet. But I hear people are doing that, and they're downloading these shows by the thousands. And listening, finally, to somebody who's preaching the gospel of the kingdom, which is about loving one another, not forcing one another to contribute to your welfare by men who exercise authority, and often without much forgiveness in their hearts, and often ruthlessly. And we're not to be that way. We were to do something else. And we were talking about taxation because he brought it up. And in the Bible that he uses, the word for tribute is translated taxation, and tribute is a form of taxation, but it's a specific kind of taxation, and there's also custom, which is a form of taxation. And we see in even the King James Bible where we see words translated about taxing and taxed, and taxation is actually not the same word as tribute, but the word apographe. And graphe has to do with apo is one Greek word and graphe is another, but they put them together and make one, apographe, which has to do with a writing, an enrollment, or a registration in the public record of persons to enter in a register or record. And of course, we told you in the last show about Herod going out, sending ministers out all over the Roman Empire, because he built more than just the temple in Jerusalem. He also built other temples. And what were these temples? This is where you went to get your social welfare. And they did it through a network of synagogues where you could go into any participating synagogue and obtain benefits through this system of social welfare that you entered into when you were registered or enrolled. And you did this when you got baptized. The problem was Herod the Great's system was based on once you were registered, they could force you by statutory regulations into paying in whatever you owed. You owed 100, you had to pay in 100. You didn't pay in 100, they'd fine you. And now you owe 110, or you owed 120, or you could actually be jailed. You could have property seized and taken away from you because you didn't pay in enough. This was the system that men had devised for themselves. This was the system that Herod the Great had devised, the man who had killed his own son. Because his son was usurping his great authority. He was driven mad with the power that people were giving him. These systems are devised by men who have already strayed from the ways of God, have already gone out of the way of God. They do this time and time again because they are not following the precept upon precepts of the Bible. Oh, they have their religion. They go to their churches. They sing their songs. They have their eschatologies and hermenologies, whatever you want to call them. Their private interpretation of what they think the Bible says. But some of the very basic fundamentals of the biblical text, they don't adhere to. Not coveting. Not praying to men who can exercise authority. Not making covenants with unbelievers. Unbelievers in what? Unbelievers in the ways of God, in the light, in the law. And the law hinges on two things. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Simply not love to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare, to set your table by force. That's why Proverbs 12:24 does say, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, and the slothful shall be under tribute. Slothful in what? Slothful in taking care of one another. In the Old Testament, we see that word tribute is to waste away. That's what it means. It's from a word that means to waste away, to melt, to dissolve. It's translated tribute, tributary, levy. They actually translated discomfited in taskmasters, etc. But it means a gang of body or forced laborers, task workers, labor bands, forced service. That's tribute. If you're forced to serve, and forced to serve by law. You see, because you've signed agreements saying you get to force me because I want you to force my neighbor to take care of me. Now he gets to force you to take care of your neighbor. And when you get lazier and lazier and lazier neighbors, they will force you to take care of those lazy and lazy and lazier neighbors. You know, I always remember the welfare sign where they had, you know, three or four people in line at the welfare office, and one of them was a bear. And it said, don't feed the bears. It makes them dependent. So the bear couldn't get welfare. But the people could. It makes them dependent. And it's amazing. I've told stories before. Two people, identical situation. They're actually even related. They both did the exact same thing. They both worked at the exact same place. They both left their jobs to start a business on their own, and their business was a little seasonal, so there was a period of a couple months where they weren't getting a paycheck. One of them went down and applied for unemployment, got it. Presto bingo. The other one went down to apply for it, and he couldn't get it. They just wanted it for those couple of months where they weren't getting a paycheck until their business started up again, which is common. You know, if your business gets laid off, you had to pay in. He paid in for 20 years, and one could get it, and the other one couldn't get it. Why couldn't he get it? And no explanation. There was no difference between the two. Well, I can tell you what the difference was. The spirit in the one was just too independent. He wasn't of that spirit, so he was rejected. Now, that's my personal opinion, but that's actually the way it is. Now, we have an article you can go look up on our website, Are Christians Idiots? And it's a bait and switch topic, because Peter was referred to as idiotus, and idiotus has to do with being unregistered. That's really what it means. You'll see the composition of the same basic root words in the reference. And it had to do with being unregistered. And this, of course, is why when they came up to Peter and Jesus and they asked, does your master pay the tax? And the reason why they had to ask that question is some were unregistered and didn't pay the tax. They didn't owe the tax, that particular tax. They might owe other taxes, but that particular tax they would not owe. And you have to, in order to understand what the Bible, like I said, if you want to understand the Bible, you have to go back and understand the history at that time, the language at that time, the circumstances at that time, to understand what they're talking about. And many of the same things that are going on today were going on back then, but you need to understand in what context. When Paul is talking, who is he talking about? Who is he talking to? When he says, we are the faithful, we are the believers, we are the blessed. The modern Christian thinks he's talking about them because he thinks, well, me and Paul, we're together. But no, the modern Christian, and I put that in capitals, modern Christian, are actually workers of iniquity. They are doers of evil. Jesus is going to say, get ye from me, ye workers of iniquity. Because they're not doing what the early church was doing. They were doing absolutely contrary to what the early church was doing. They, through great wantonness and through covetousness, they have been made merchandise, surety for debt. Because they did not wait upon the Lord, but they prayed to their fathers of the earth for their benefits at the expense of their neighbor. It's that simple. Now, in his critique of us, Mr. Fish goes on in a critique of us and says, Paul writes, because of this, you pay taxes. So because of liberty? No, see, he's misplacing his understanding of the words. Let's go back to verse 5. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Let's go back a little farther. He is referring to the rulers of the earth, for he is God's minister for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. What is the evil? Coveting your neighbor's goods. That's why in a few verses later, he's talking about you not coveting, not wanting. Not wantonness, not lasciviousness. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Aha! Therefore, you must be subject. If you're practicing evil, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. Because you practice evil. That's right. That's why you're subject. Because you practice evil. For they are God's minister. You know, they're there to punish the wicked. Who are the wicked? The ones who apply to them to take away from their neighbors so that they can feel socially secure. It's a very simple process. But I tell you, it's a shocker. I mean, people say, oh, that can't be true. If that were true, I would be one of the evil ones. because I want those benefits. I paid in. I want them back. Everybody who was paying into the apostles to take care of the daily ministration, using those seven chosen amongst themselves to take care of the daily ministration, they were all paying in, and they had the right to reap the benefits. But there was no debt involved. The ministers weren't going out and forcing their neighbors to contribute to the daily ministration. Not in the church. In the world, yes, but in the church, they don't do that, because Jesus said you are not to exercise authority one over the other. But he who is to be greatest amongst you is to be servant. We are striving to help one another, to serve one another, and we serve God by doing so. But if you are praying to the men with swords to go out because you covet your neighbor's goods, then yes, therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake, because of the fact that you bound your conscience to them. You gave them power. You were slothful in the ways of God, and therefore you should be under tribute. Only the diligent shall bear rule, diligent in righteousness. That's why we were told to seek righteousness, not to seek the fathers of the earth and their benefits. Pray to our Father who art in heaven for our daily bread. I don't have to write about all the preachers who have led you into this bondage. I don't have to pick on them. I just have to preach the gospel. It's clear that he didn't understand what I was saying. He goes on to say, what a profound concept. Evidently, some people prefer jail time above exercising liberty. He doesn't understand at all. I mean, as far as jail time, I don't want to go to jail. I want to do this according to law. I don't tell anybody not to pay their taxes. If you owe the tax, pay the tax. Just the same as Jesus said when they tried to trap him. And I'm saying, why do you owe the tax? You owe the tax because you've been covetous in your nature. You have desired benefits. You have prayed for your daily bread from men who exercise authority. And Jesus said it was not to be that way with you. But it is, so therefore you're not following Jesus' directives, and therefore you're not a Christian, and the evidence of that is in what you do. So your faith is a lie, and you need to repent. It's as simple as that. And as far as going to jail, yeah, somebody might go to jail. Peter went to jail. Paul went to jail. Christ went to jail. They all went to jail. So that doesn't have anything to do with it. Do I want to go to jail? Absolutely not. He says, but Gregory sees paying taxes as a sin. I didn't say that. I said applying for the benefit as a sin. I think that if you owe the tax and you don't pay the tax, that's a sin. Because you've borne false witness. You owe the tax because you made the agreement. You applied for the benefit. And therefore you owe the tax. I'm saying repent. Start taking care of one another, so that nobody has to go to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. Nobody has to curse their children with greater and greater governmental debt because they keep applying for benefits from a bankrupt system that can only provide those benefits by borrowing money from the temple at Ephesus. And those of you who have followed the history and understand what the temple at Ephesus was, it was literally kind of a world bank, an underwriter for all these welfare systems of Rome and all the other satellite countries. They were just, it was the Federal Reserve of the day almost. It was issuing coins, everything. It's a government building. We just call it a temple. You know, I could never figure out what did they do in these temples? You know, the temple at Ephesus was built by 127 different countries. Why 127 different countries, governments, contributed money to build this temple? How did they do that? Why were they doing that? This is a part of the governmental function. These are government buildings. This is why many of the government buildings today look like these old temples. They actually function like these old temples. Anyway, he says, I write. He quotes, and you would think that I said this. He even puts the footnote number, but I don't know that he ever puts the footnote in. But he says, government big enough to supply everything you need is big enough to take everything you have. the course of history shows that as a government grows, liberty decreases. But anyway, the quote was Thomas Jefferson. It wasn't just me. But anyway, if, of course, maybe he doesn't like Thomas Jefferson either. There doesn't seem to be very many people he does like. Says he once saw knew a church that was a true church, but it disbanded and became unfunctional. As far as he knows, he's the only true church. I don't think that we're the only true church, and it's not my church anyway. It's Christ's holy church. We're just poor preachers seeking to be that church and to do his will by actually, you know, we had to do a lot of, when we're looking at the truth and looking for the truth, we had to say, oh my gosh, I had this wrong. We didn't say, oh, we got the truth now. We're just going to go out and give it to other people. I can't even give you the truth. I can talk about it. The only one who can give it to you is God, and that's the only one you should get it from. And you get it by divine revelation, which is what Jesus was talking about to Simon, who said, blessed are you, Simon, because you are a Peter, a rock, because you know this not because flesh and blood has revealed it to you, but my Father. When I talk to you, that's my flesh and blood speaking to you. Now, deep down in my heart, there's a spirit trying to speak to you, too. I'm not trying to beat up Mr. Fish. I'm trying to call him to repentance. I'm trying to show him the whole gospel, this whole Bible story, from the beginning to end. We were never to return to the bondage of Egypt, but we have. He goes on and writes, when a person enters into a tax... Oh, actually, he's quoting me here. I should remember this. He's quoting me. When a person enters into a tax contribution system in order to gain the benefits and protection offered by the rulers of that system, crafted by the hands of men, and he underlines, he subjects himself to the jurisdictional authority of those rulers in that aspect, according to that agreement, that application, and the laws governing that application of that system. The benefits they receive are the meat and sometimes the blood of those victims which that system strangles and devours daily. Then he underlines, the sins of that system rest upon the beneficiaries of that body, that corporation, that creation of men, as much, if not more, than the rulers. You know, he had gone up and said that somehow or other, that saying that taxes are a sin. I didn't say taxes were a sin. I'm saying covetousness is a sin. That's what I'm saying. I'm talking about the sin is, I'm saying that the sin is more upon the people as beneficiaries, even underlying the word, beneficiaries of that body, of that corpus, than the rulers. That's the sin. The sin of that system rests upon the beneficiaries, not the ones who pay the taxes. If you owe the tax and don't pay it, that's another sin. You bear false witness. You owe the tax, pay the tax. That's simple. Why do you owe the tax? Because you've been slothful in the ways of God. Now you want to be free. I understand that. Stop being slothful. Start providing the benefits of society through faith, hope, and charity. Start doing what the early church was doing, what John the Baptist was doing. If you didn't have a coat, you had to depend upon charity. You don't like charity. I don't like to take charity. Well, then go without a coat. But don't say, I don't like charity. I'm going to go to the government. They have a giveaway program where they just give you coats for free. They don't give you coats for free. They take coats away from other people. They take away money from other people with the sword. Then they go buy coats, and then they give you coats for free. So you're the sinner because you're coveting your neighbor's goods through the agency of government. It's really simple, folks. I shouldn't have to explain it, but people have this disconnect. And you have it really strong if you don't want to believe that you've already been deceived. Well, we'll have to return in just a moment, and we'll talk more about how you have already been deceived when we return to Keys of the Kingdom after this break.
things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our lives seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys to the Kingdom. As I said just before the break, and you have already been deceived. I put in a few quotes here. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the other nations. The other nations had these ruling judges, these leaders who had the power to judge, to appoint judges. Apotheos is what they called it in Rome. He could appoint judges throughout the empire, imperial judges, to decide imperial matters. And those matters grew as the power of that government grew, and that power of the government grew as the people looked more and more to the government to solve problems they should be solving for themselves as a society, as neighbor to neighbor. So in verse 6 we see, but the things displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. So this there was something wrong with this. And in verse 7 we see, and the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people. You always hear voice of the people. The voice of the people have spoken. They have voted in another ruler who can appoint judges and exercise authority one over the other and provide us with many benefits like all the other nations. This is what they're doing. Samuel, he says, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, they have rejected me, referring to God, that I should not reign over them. So this is a big thing. This is a sin. They are rejecting God by asking for a ruler who can appoint judges and exercise authority one over the other. That is a rejection of God. It was back then. I mean, we're going to take the whole Bible, right? Whole Bible. So that was back then. So it must be now, right? You're rejecting God when you ask them to elect a leader who can appoint judges over you and fix things and make things right and to even provide you with daily bread, an EBT card. You've rejected God when you do that. Now, you've done it already in all these countries throughout the world. Now what are you going to do? You're dependent, like the bear at the welfare line. it makes you dependent. It addicts you to the welfare of that system. You can't live without it. So you have to create a system, and that's what John the Baptist was doing. Make straight the way of the Lord. Follow the light of the commandment. Stop coveting your neighbor's goods. Keep your contract with Pharaoh, but start taking care of one another. That simple. Start serving God by serving one another, being of service to one another. Stop pretending that you believe in God when you still go to the fathers of the earth and pray for your daily bread. Stop pretending. Realize that. I know you can't go cold turkey, a lot of you. You're so dependent. But you have to start weaning it off, and the only way to do that is to gather together and start helping one another. And we can show you how to do that. And there are men amongst us who are studying this out and working on ways to do that as a matter of service to God and service to you, because they love you as much as they love themselves, or seeking to. But he goes, they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, other ruling judges. So do they also unto thee. He's telling them what the people have done. He says, now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of king, prime minister, president, ruler that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king, a ruler. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariot, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots, which is really, I mean, that's a crazy place to be. That's called putting them in harm's way. It's not a matter of just literal. It is literal, but he's giving you a metaphor of he's going to put your sons in harm's way for his purposes. That's what he's going to do. If you are foolish enough to reject God and elect a ruler who can appoint judges over you and exercise authority over you and provide you with daily bread, this is what's going to happen. He's going to take your sons, he's going to put them in harm's way for his purposes, and he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war. Let's put that in modern terms. To make his military industrial complex. He'll have the power to do that and make that military industrial complex extremely wealthy. And he will take your daughters to be his confectionaries, his cooks and bakers. And what they mean, that's a metaphor for serve him. So the wife is not serving the family. She goes out in the world and works it all. Much of her labor and service has to go to the king. It used to be sacrosanct that your daughters and your wife they worked in the family, for the family. They didn't have to, you couldn't put them into these, remember that tribute, the forced labor we were talking about when we were defining that and showing you what it meant in the Old Testament tribute, task workers, labor bands and gangs, forced service. That's the law in every country today, that all the citizens of the country have to work at civilian work projects, including the United States, at the command of the government, without pay even. That's in the oath now. You can go look it up in the statutes. It didn't used to be there, but it is there now, because you're back in Egypt again, you see, because you've created another government by your sloth, by your avarice, by your wantonness. You've created another government that is religious in nature. It's actually a theocracy, because religion, again, is how you take care of the needy of your society, how you take care of one another in the needy, as needy of your society, through faith, hope, and charity, or through force. Both are religions. But one is a religion of God, and the other one is a religion of Satan, the adversary of God, who doesn't want you to do it out of love, wants to do it out of force. The devil wants you to do the right thing, but he wants to do it, you to do it because he says so, because he forces you to do it. When you enter into hell, you will goose-step your way in. That's right. That's how you get there. And you do it through covetousness. You will be made merchandise belonging to the rulers of hell, the adversaries of God. Because the people were becoming adversaries of God. They were rejecting God, that he should not reign over them. And he goes on to say that he will take your fields. He will own the land that you live on. You won't own it. He'll take your vineyards and your olive groves and even the best of them and give them to his servants. In other words, a portion of everything you produce, your labor, your land, everything is going to go to him and his servants and pay for his system. Not like it used to be before that, when you were free souls under God. You're now going to be under his authority. He will take a tenth of your seed. Actually, he can even take more, and your vineyards, and give them to his officers and his servants. He will take, it just goes on, take and take and take and take. Take from everything that is yours. And then he says, and ye shall cry out in that day because of the ruler, king, that you have chosen. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. So is God against government? No. He knows that government is there to punish the wicked. He's telling you, you go make this government. You choose. You take your liberty. Give him the right to choose for you, to rule over you, to judge you, where you are no longer the judges through your juries and through your communities. But now he is judge. And he will take and take and take and take and take, and you will cry out. And I'm not even going to hear you as God. That's what he's telling you. He's not against government. He knows government will punish the wicked. And who are the wicked? Those who covet their neighbor's goods, who desire to rule over their neighbor in a democracy where they can elect the ruler, and they force, unfortunately, the selfish outnumber the unselfish. And the mere fact that you wanted to rule over your neighbor, to bludgeon your brother with a club of power and force, will lead you into other oppressive realities. And you will cry out, and God's not going to hear you. This is the story of the Bible from the beginning to the end. He told all the people this, just like I'm telling you now. And you know what the people said? Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. We want this government. We want it. Well, you got it. And I'm not telling you to rebel against it. I'm telling you, repent. Start taking care of one another. Because they wanted to be like all the other nations. And Jesus said, you're not to be like the other nations who have their rulers and princes or prime ministers or whatever you want to call them, who exercise authority one over the other and call themselves benefactors. You're not to do it that way. If you're going to be following Christ, you're not doing it that way. If you are doing it that way, you haven't been following Christ. And now you can go to your minister and say, why didn't you tell us that this was the way of evil and darkness and bondage, and that it would again entangle us in the elements of the world? And of course, he didn't tell you because he didn't know. And he didn't know because he's under a strong delusion too. And I'm just telling you to wake up. See the truth. Go the other way. Matthew 20:25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know the princes, the rulers, the kings, of the other Gentiles exercise dominion over them, that are great, exercise authority upon them. He's talking about the governments of the world. Mark 10:42. But Jesus called them unto him and said unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles, the other nations, this is the king talking. He's talking to them like they're not part of those other nations. And they weren't. They were not of that world. The Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. It is not to be that way with you, he goes on to say again. In Luke 22:25, we see the same thing. And he saith unto them, the kings of the Gentiles. That's the prime ministers, presidents, kings, rulers, who can appoint judges, whoever they are. The kings of the Gentiles exercise the lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. Who's your benefactor, baby? Who's your benefactor, Mr. Fish? For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am amongst you as he that serveth. Ye are they which continue with me, talking to the apostles, in my temptations. Temptations to do what? To exercise authority one over the other. The same temptation that fell to Saul. Same temptation that fell to David and Rehoboam. You people who give power to these men have already rejected God, and now you tempt these men to become tyrants. So whose is the greater sin? The tyrants or the men who elected them? Who elected to pray to them instead of to God? Who chose to live by force rather than by faith? Who called upon the sword rather than love to take care of the daily ministration? And Jesus says in the next verse, and I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me. We weren't to be like those other systems. Jesus was king, and he was teaching the people the ways of God. And we have not gone those ways. We've gone the ways of the people, the voice of the people who have sought to exercise authority one over the other. Now, Mr. Fish goes on to say, not only is subjection to those rulers gods idolatry, as Gregory makes clear in the quotes above. No, what I said is idolatry is praying to those men for your benefits. It's praying to idols. Idols are things that you create, that you make, that you establish with your hands. It doesn't have to be out of wood or ceramics or stone. Those are just the symbols that you hold up to represent their authority. We've done that. Now, those are the badges saying that, you know, the temple meant an area. And every village had an area where you would go to get the benefits of the gods, which people were, we show you time and time again in history where the Romans were building a temple and they would put the gold in. You know, they'd actually throw it in and set a stone on top, but they would fill the treasury. And that was a way in which to take care of the needs of one another. But it was free will offerings in Rome at the beginning. But then later on, because of the sloth of the people, it became forced offering. And that's where the transition is making. You are subject to rulers because of your idolatry. Because you have looked and prayed to the fathers of the earth for your benefits. That's what I'm trying to make clear. He says that I claim the sin, ... rests upon the beneficiaries. Yes, I do. In other words, the sin rests upon those who pay taxes. No. The one who takes the benefit. You pay the taxes because, many of you pay the taxes because your parents have sold you into the system. You were ignorant. You didn't understand how it works. You took the free education. You took the WIC programs, the what have you. You were told you had to get this number. You believed your parents. You probably used to believe in Santa Claus too. And now you're finding out there ain't no Santa Claus. There is no free lunch. That when you apply for the benefit, yeah, I know a guy who worked all his life. He's eligible for Social Security. He says, I won't take it. I know a lot of guys who are eligible for Social Security and won't take it. They won't take the benefit. They figure everything I paid in, that was to take care of the needy back then. Just like it was in the days of John the Baptist. Not in the days of Herod, but the days of John the Baptist. You pay in and you hope that somebody will take care of you. If you want entitlements, then you're not interested in hope. You're interested in guarantees. And if you want a guarantee that you'll get those benefits, because you have somebody out there wielding the sword, then you're not operating according to the Spirit of Christ. You're operating according to the spirit of all these idolaters they were talking about. And you are bowing down and worshiping and serving those gods in hopes that they will guarantee your safety, your salvation, your security in this life. Unfortunately, they have no influence in the next life. So you're on your own there. But you're not living this life according to the ways of God. The ways of God are faith, hope, and charity, and the perfect law of liberty. The ways of Satan are to force everybody to do it my way. You still have to give in, still have to take care of the needy, but you have to do it. And if you don't do it according to his judgment, he gets to punish you because he's the ruling judge. If you don't do it according to God's judgment in free will offerings, you're answerable to God, not to me. And the fact is, we have left the perfect law of liberty, stricken hands with unbelievers who believe in force, not faith, to compel them to make sacrifice so that we can eat of that sacrifice and benefit. You see, it's really very simple. This is the way the society was put together in those days. For he is God's minister to good. And again, he quotes that. Absolutely. And the good that he's going to impose on him is punishment for coveting his neighbor's goods. And that's what Samuel was telling you. God said, give them the ruler that exercises authority. That's what they want. They've already rejected me. And that ruler will be a minister to good because he's going to take and take and take and take and take and take and take. And then you're going to cry out. I'm not going to hear you, but he will hear you if you repent. The prodigal son in the other land was crying out, crying out. His father didn't hear him. His father didn't come to him. He didn't hear him. He did hear him when he repented, turned around, and went back to be a servant in his father's house. That the guy who only fed him the corn husks, he was a minister to God. Because he showed him by the conditions he created the wickedness of that way. And that's what you have today in the world. You see, you're not only taxed by tribute, you're taxed by inflation. Your children are born in debt. That little cute baby that was just born, $54,000, $60,000 in debt. It's, oh, look at the little cute little debtor. He owes $50,000 and he hasn't even sucked yet on his mother's breast. Oh my gosh! What the heck? And you curse your children with that? Why? Because you're idolaters. I'm saying repent. You still owe the debt. Repent. Start weaning yourself off of the state. Home health. Home school. Home industry. Learn to gather together to take care of one another. Become the faith emergency ministry auxiliary of your community. This is the way of the early church. This is the way of the Israelites in the bondage of Egypt. And they needed to do that because there was hail and fire and brimstone going to be coming from heaven. And we'll talk more about that in another show because he brings that up as well. So remember, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Slothful in what? Slothful in the ways of God. Anyway, I see that I'm reading. I haven't read all of his page yet, but he goes on, and you see, I'll read this just so you can see how he twists things in his mind. Now, you already see that how these men of force that we're not to be like, according to Jesus, if we're going to take the whole Bible, we're not to be like those men, those governments who exercise authority one over the other, but call themselves benefactors. We're not to be like that. But he says, Mr. Fish says, Paul says he is, just takes the quote, to you for good. That makes, and he goes on with a new sentence, that makes a believer, in parentheses, to whom Paul writes, a beneficiary. Well, yes, we are a beneficiary in a sense, because he does keep all of his minions in some sort of order. If the government were to disappear overnight, just suddenly, you know, like in a twinkling of an eye, you would have absolute total chaos. People would be killing and murdering and robbing left and right. It would just absolutely be hell on earth. But that's because it's full of demons. The world's already full of demons, and he's keeping his demons in some sort of check. Now, he will usurp authority occasionally, and he will punish, you know, and throw people like Peter and Paul and Jesus into jail. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be protected, and we have to walk in that faith. We know that risk. We know we will be persecuted. But the good he does is also when he takes and takes and takes and takes, because the reason he is your ruler instead of Jesus, the reason you're under Caesar and you have no king but Caesar instead of Jesus, is because you have made covenants with him, applying for benefits in a covetous way of desiring benefits at the expense of your neighbor, which you're not to do. Moses said it, Jesus said it, Paul said it, but you've done it. So, in a roundabout way, we are beneficiaries, but I can't go down to the government and say, you know, I don't have any food, will you give me food? And they'll say, well, can I see your number? What's your number? What number did you get from my boss, my father, who art in Washington? Did you get a number from him? I don't have that number. Now, I'm sure Mr. Fish has that number. He used to work for them. I think he was a probation officer or something. Anyway, I read a little bit about him. That's on his website. You can go look it up. It doesn't matter. I mean, a lot of people work for the government. I actually have done jobs for the government. I actually worked for the state government for about a month or so, and then I told them I quit. They asked me why. I says, well, I intend to work for a living, and I'm not allowed to do that here. Because they actually got mad at me because I was getting stuff done. And I'd gone through this list of jobs that they gave me, and I'd had them all done. And they said, well, those jobs were supposed to last me all summer. And I had them done in less than a month. And this actually made them mad. They were actually angry that I got this all done. And they put a chair out in the middle of the room, and they said, sit there. And I sat down, and they said, pretend you enjoy it. And they walked out of the room, and I thought, like, what? I couldn't figure out what was going on here. And they finally, somebody explained it to me. He says that you're making them look bad. It's kind of like, what was it, Hot Fuzz? The cop was a real cop. He was doing his job. And they don't like that because they were more interested in coffee and sitting around pushing papers around on the desk. They didn't want to actually work. And so anyway, that was my experience with that. And the fact is I understand we're all trapped in this system. And we're all kind of lost in it. And it has its benefit because it's going to make you cry out someday. But when you cry out, I don't want you rebelling. I want you to just start doing righteousness. Be the revolutionary that Christ was. Sacrifice yourself for the love of others. And that doesn't mean to make the poor poorer or weaker. It means to strengthen those amongst you who want to walk in the ways of the Lord. And that's what we need to do. And we'll have to return to this and examine some of this in more detail, because he's got a lot of strange ideas, but they're common ideas. A lot of other people have them. He's just kind of an extreme case. And hopefully I'll hear back from him. I've written him, and I haven't heard a response yet, but we'll eventually send him copies of all this, because we're not backbiters. We don't want to pick on him. We understand that he's under strong delusion, and we hope that he wakes up and sees the truth of the gospel and repents and goes the way of Christ in the early church. But until then, all I can say is peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.